A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts of the devil, fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. It is our privilege this morning as sons and daughters of the Most High God to get together with one purpose and one purpose only, Lord, and that's to glorify your name and to hear from you and to enjoy your presence, to be challenged, to be changed, to be convicted, Lord, to become more and more like Jesus. We thank you for this time that we have. We thank you for this property that you have blessed us with, that we have this building. Thank you that we have electricity. Thank you that there's running water. Thank you that we have each other, Lord God, to lean upon and to go to for help, for love, for care and support. Jesus Christ, thank you for laying down your life. Thank you for your shed blood. And thank you for restoring us to a relationship with God. This morning, Father, we all choose here and now in these few minutes that we have to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. We want to hear from you. We haven't come to listen to a man bring a sermon. We had to hear from God. And thank you, Lord God, that we are not only hearers of the word, but that we will be doers of the work. After we hear, that we will apply and go and live out what you teach us. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. High five somebody around you and just greet them with the love of the Lord this morning. Somehow. Good to have you all here. To our first-time visitors, I hope and pray that you feel welcome and you feel and experience the presence of the Lord this morning. We're busy with a series about the armor of God and being equipped. We're going through the pieces of the armor and applying it to our lives and see how do we practically do that. Last time we discussed, Van had gave us a break in between, gave you a break from me. Hallelujah. We discussed what it means to stand firm and the devil's strategies that is planned and calculated. And this week, we're going to continue from verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6. So ready your swords. Get your Bibles ready. You can watch overhead or look it on your tablet, your phone, or your actual Pages Bible. All those with a Pages Bible in the house, wave them this morning. Hey, there's a couple. There's just something special about it, isn't it? Verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. I think sometimes that would be so easy. Because if you see your enemy coming in, especially if it's at distance, and you're in a nice spot, and you've got a nice sniper's rifle that shoots the bullet like a flat and a decent scope, you could say, I hope you and Jesus have got it all worked out. Because from a place you do not see will come a sound you will not hear. I must get my mind out of movie mode now. Because then it would be easy to fight flesh and blood enemies, you know. But we're fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Folks, these are some serious cats, yeah, that we're talking about. This is a serious heavyweight enemy. Sometimes when people get exposed to the supernatural, say, ah, I don't believe in that. Well, guess what? It's like gravity. I can stand here and say, I don't believe in gravity. But if I jump off the stage, whether I believe it or not, whether I'm aware of it or not, I'm going to go down. And ladies and gentlemen, it's like that with the spiritual things. These principalities and powers and rulers. It's real. Pinch yourself. It's like that. It is real. It is real. Okay, so notice that the enemy is described as rulers. It's described as authorities and mighty powers. A ruler, what does a ruler do? No, it draws a straight line. Rulers rule. Rulers rule. And authorities, what do? Exercise authority. And mighty powers, what do? They exercise mighty powers. And why is this so? Surely God is above all of this, you may ask. Well, He is, but there is authority that the devil has. He does have authority, and here's why. In John chapter 12 and verse 31, the time for judging this world has come when Satan, these are the words of Jesus, the ruler of this world, those are the words of Jesus, the ruler of this world will be cast out. What does that mean? It means that in the natural world here, there's a world that is ruled over by the devil. The scripture goes on to say that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Satan, who is the god of this world. There it is. Those are the principalities. Those are the authorities. Those are the rulers of evil forces in the heavenlies that the scripture is speaking about here. Who's the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Remember before you gave your life to Jesus? Give us two. That's it. Yet says, the devil has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. And they don't understand this message about the glory of Christ. They don't understand it. Who's the exact likeness of God. So, we're speaking about authorities and rulers and principalities and powers. Part of the gospel program is restoring mankind to his rightful place of authority that he had before God. Go back a couple of thousand years before the fall of man. There we were in this wonderful, wonderful garden. Guys, imagine what it was like before there were women in the garden. Some of you are thinking, it was so lacking. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. God saw that, listen, this oak needs help. He needs help. That's why he sent us our helpers. Hallelujah. You see, Adam was tasked with naming the animals and the plants and keeping the garden before the woman was there. Because if the woman was on the scene while that was there, they'd still be deciding today about the names of the animals and the plants. God said, just let man get the job done. And then once the work is done and he's a little bit lonely, send him a helper. But man had that position of authority before God. God said, let us make man in our image and let him have dominion. We had that authority. Then the devil comes along. He managed to deceive Eve and trick her. Adam decided to come in on the party and join in and have some of the fruit salad. And that position of authority, we were usurped from that, and that is the position of authority that the devil has. Do you understand the shift of authority that's taken place? That is why Jesus describes Satan as the god of this age. Now, part of the gospel program is for mankind to be restored to that position of authority. Esther shared a word this morning with me briefly during the worship of how she saw a cross and young Christians, not in age but in spiritual terms, at the foot of the cross and saying, well, that's the authority that we have, but don't just stop there, to go on. There's more that Jesus has. Did I get the gist of it, Esther? That Jesus has more. So we have this authority. Now, it's like when you're traveling on the freeway, and on this side, there's a sign that says 120, and on that side, there's a sign that says 120. So what's 120 plus 120? There you go. And then you're doing, and then somebody jumps out and they want to give you one of these performance awards. I don't need those performance awards. I know exactly what my motorcycle can do. But he jumps out, and if you're riding along at 120 plus VAT and somebody jumps in the road, what are you going to do? Yes, mom, man, you're going to swerve and carry on. But a person jumps out with the uniform, it changes. No, then I'm going to go even faster. What do I do? My helmet's got a peak, so I turn my head to the side as if I can't see, and I'm a corner of eye, just make sure I'm still going ahead, so that I got an excuse. No, I didn't see you. I was, Marek Lichne. You must pray for your pastor, please. I need help. So there's an authority in that uniform. There's an authority. So what happens is the gospel program is to restore us to that place of authority. What's our uniform? The cloak of righteousness. He's given us a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And having taken upon His righteousness, having exchanged our old filthy rags of that sinful life and taken on the authority of God, God wants to restore that authority to us so that ons leef nie soos die wat sê, hoe gaan dit? Nee, maar onder die omstandighede, jy weet. Some people, the only difference between them and a battery is that a battery's got a positive side. Hulle is dan altijd so negatief. They are like misery looking for a place to have, and they wake up in the morning offended. They just need a place to manifest. I'm saying that in love. Wat het sulke mense nodig? Ek is ook so. We need Jesus. We need Jesus to come and change things, that it becomes different. You know? So it's like you wake up in the morning and die selfde omstandighede is daar. You just need a different perspective. You take out the brille of the naysayers and the negativity people, and ons, jy weet, alles is verkeerd and South Africa is going to go down the drain like whatever. You take those glasses out and off and you put on the perspective of God and say, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I've got your back. What I've promised will come to pass. I'm still a miracle working God of the Bible. You're important to me. Your name is written in God's book of life. You're inscribed in the palms of my hands. And all of these positive things changes the way. It's still South Africa. It's still the same whatever. The same petrol, fuel price, the same interest rate, the same crime. Just a godly perspective. And when we have that authority shift, that's what happens, where we can have overcome these things. And this is part of the armor. These are the principalities and things that we're fighting against. And ladies and gentlemen, where does the battle take place? Here. Between your left ear and your right ear. It's here. It starts off with the devil saying, and the strategy has been the same since the Garden of Eden. He said, he didn't say, God did not say, because God clearly spoke and they knew that. But what did he do? Out of his quiver of arrows, put in an arrow of doubt, and said, did God really say that you can't have of that tree? Come on, look at all of these trees. There's so much here. Surely he's not going to miss just one of those little fruits. And starts off with that doubt. And that strategy is the same today. I wonder, do you think God is going to answer your prayers in the light of what you've done? I mean, you don't even go to church regularly. Do you think God has got your back? I mean, look at the economy. Everybody's battling. How's God going to enable you to make ends meet at the end of the month? You know, I mean, it's so, and it's doubtful thought after doubtful thought after doubtful. Do you think you're any good to God? Come on, man. You can't preach like so-and-so, or you can't quote scriptures like so-and-so, or you don't have this, or you don't have that. It's all the time. How many of you can relate to what I'm saying this morning, church? That's why one of the names of the devil is the accuser. Of the brethren. He accuses you day and night. You start praying, he tells you you're not praying enough. You start giving, he tells you you're not giving enough. You start testifying, he tells you you're not testifying enough. You want to sing, he tells you your voice sucks. Well, maybe it does, but you don't have to take it from. Let God tell you, and then you can work on that. Does it make sense what I'm saying? And all of that is authority, understanding. Who the hell do you think you are? Well, I'm nothing if not a son of God. You're a son and a daughter of the living God. That's something to rejoice about and get excited about. And that's what this armor is. Understanding this, and starts with a helmet of salvation. The mindset changes. I'm not some skivvy down here on earth groveling, just hoping that God's going to give me something down from heaven. But you start your day, if you're in a place of right standing with God, if you've repented of your sinful twock, you start your day seated with Christ in heavenly places and say, Lord, we're going to have dominion over the works of your hands today as you lead and guide me by your Spirit, come what may. Hallelujah. I love those pictures. Excuse me, I've seen one or two of them on social media. You see this little lion cub walking there and this big lion behind it. The lion of the tribe of Judah has got your back, and his name is Jesus. Okay, so that's part of the gospel program. By choosing to surrender to Christ, this is how we get that authority. By choosing to surrender to Christ, we move out from under Satan's authority and place ourselves under God's authority. But we need to take steps of obedience to do that, family. My brother, my sister, we need to take steps of obedience. So, as you sit here this morning and you think to yourself, I wish so-and-so was here. Hulle moes hierdie gehoor het. No, they're not here. You are. Say, Lord, what steps do I need to take to make sure that I'm out from under the devil's authority and I'm under God's authority? The devil's authority, the power that he has known as exousia, he has right. That's when there is willful, deliberate, continuous, repetitive, unrepented sin in your life. Then he has a right to come steal, to come kill, and to destroy. That's his portfolio, and that's his mandate. But when you separate yourself from that and place yourself under God's authority, the devil has to get through your father first. Huge difference. So the key here is to have authority over these things, is to move out from the devil's authority and place yourself under God's authority. In Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, Jesus came and he told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He's qualifying himself and saying, I have a right to say this. I can say this. That's why I'm doing this. I can say this. Because I've conquered death in the grave. How many gods do you know that can boast of an empty tomb? You know? When they talk about the veracity and the proof of Jesus, there's so much undeniable proof. The fact that the tomb was empty, it's documented. The fact that he appeared to hundreds, more than 500 people after his resurrection. And the fact that the most unlikely people to believe ended up believing. And that's with the disciples, you know. When were the disciples born again? When he sent them out and gave them a measure of the Holy Spirit? No. After they saw and believed, he is indeed dead and he's risen again. That's when things changed forever. Okay. He said, I've been given authority even on earth. Verse 19 of Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, when it comes to talking about these spiritual things in the heavenlies, it's important to understand that everything that we see and experience in the natural is a consequence of something that has happened in the spiritual realm. The chair that you are sitting on started out in the spiritual realm. You say, huh? Well, where did it start? It started out as an idea. Started out as a thought, and somewhere along the line, somebody got the idea of a chair. They probably saw something in nature. Most of the things that are the biggest blessing to us today, people have gotten their inspiration from nature. You know, like Velcro straps comes from nature. It's incredible. It's amazing. Okay. So it's important to understand that what we experience in the natural is a result of something in the spiritual. You may have heard of the expression, don't be so spiritual that you've no earthly good. You heard of that? Okay. However, we'll do well to be aware of the warnings of verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6, which speaks about these principalities and powers. And it's because of this spiritual activity that the scripture clearly teaches us to guard our hearts. Because when we allow stuff to happen, it's in the spiritual realm, it affects our thought life, we act on those decisions, and it changes the condition of our heart. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, guard your heart above all else, because out of it spring the issues of life. Guard your heart. That means protect what happens here. So that means that carefully consider, I'm going to paraphrase now, carefully consider what you do about what you're thinking about. Carefully consider about what you let it do to your heart when those thoughts rush through your mind. Think about the person that you love more than anybody else on this planet. Think about that person for a moment. Okay, did you think about it? Now think about the person that you dislike or even hate the most. Think about that. And it's that condition of the heart that the Bible teaches us to guard your heart, protect it. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Verse 13 of Ephesians 6. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Wow. Now, those are one of the things I just wish we could just take right out of the scriptures. And then after the battle, you will be standing firm. The Bible speaks about the time of evil. Folks, the book van Prediker, that's Ecclesiastes, says that there's a time for everything under the sun, including evil. As holy as we want to be, as protected as we claim we are, and naming and claiming and praying and bit and hit and forbid and casting out and whatever, there's a time of evil. There's a time when evil is going to reign. There's a time when evil is going to prevail, no matter what we do. The time of evil. This time of evil, it's guaranteed that we will have difficulties. I wonder how many of us have memorized these scripture verses about the promises and the guarantee that there will be evil times. We like to memorize the double measures, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. But the times of evil, it's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. So maybe you're sitting right now and you're saying, yeah, Mozzie, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. I'm going through a time of evil in my life. There's this going on in my marriage. There's this going on in my health. There's this going on in my finances. I'm having a challenge with this in my thought life, or this struggle at work, or wherever, or at home, or something. Maybe a struggle at church, whatever the case may be. You're struggling to understand what this oak says every Sunday. You just come and smile and wave, boy. Smile and wave. You're clueless as to what this cat is saying. Just put on every piece of armor so that you'll be able to stand in the time of evil. John 16 and verse 33, another promise of Jesus. I've told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Like Jesus, really? Come on, Lord. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. How many of us, when we decided to follow Jesus, signed up for the trials and the sorrows? I most certainly didn't. I didn't sign up for the trials and the sorrows. Learned afterwards as you grow in maturity. And you know, if you look at a minister, a preacher long enough, it's going to disappoint you. Keep coming to church long enough, it's going to let you down. Get involved in ministry long enough, it's going to hurt you. But keep on coming, keep on serving, keep on giving. Keep on. Let God grow us through those times. Jesus said, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. It says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. So you wake up the next morning and there's just bad news after bad news after bad news. You were like, what's going on? Why, Lord? What have I done wrong, Lord? Well, you haven't done anything wrong. It's because of what you've done right. And what is it that you've done right? You've said yes to Jesus. When you said yes to Jesus, you've got a target on your back. You've got a target on your chest. You've got a target, yeah. Target on this target. She's taken. The enemy wants to take you out. You haven't done anything wrong. It's because of what you've done right that the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So it says, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange was happening to you. 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. It's encouraging, isn't it? Ons is nie alleen nie, julle. We are more than just 100 odd people. Praise God, he's going to send more people as we go and make disciples. We bring them. But we've got to get the bigger picture of where we're at. We're part of a universal family of God. Isn't it wonderful and encouraging to know this morning that we're not alone We're not alone. That is why continuous, regular fellowship is so important. Mense sê, ek hoef nie kerk toe te gaan om die Here te aanbid nie. You don't have to. Ek hoef nie kerk toe te gaan om in die Here te glo. You don't have to, but folks, those things help. Those things help. It helps. Somehow, somewhere along the line, somebody just does that something. Just to encourage you, just to lift up your hands, or just to tick you off so badly. Want jy vir maanden nie weer wil terugkom nie. But you must just keep on coming. You know, there's no plan B or C. This thing called church and the body of Christ, that's God's plan. That's God's plan for us to get on with each other, to love each other. You see, we commanded to love each other, not to like each other. So sometimes you're going to have to do selective fellowship. You're going to have to do selective fellowship. What does that mean? Just hang with the people that encourage you and lift you up. And those that just push all the wrong buttons at the wrong time, just steer clear and just pray. Just bless everybody. Just bless everybody, okay? You've got issues with people. You consider that maybe God's got issues with you too. You know, but He loves regardless. Is this meaning something to anybody this morning? Can we relate to what God is saying to us, church? Okay. So He says, stand firm, knowing that your brothers and sisters in the Lord are going through the same kind of thing. This time of evil must and will come to pass. It must and it will come to pass. And then it says, then after the battle, you will be standing firm. When are you going to be standing firm? You can't get past that. There's an order here. After the battle, you will be standing firm. So if you're like a little bit wishy-washy and all demakaar and deur die wind and through the wind and all sorts of things, well, maybe there's a battle or two that you need to go through before you end up standing firm. After the battle, you will stand firm, the scripture says. Verse 14, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. And we're going to stop there. We're going to have to carry on next week because this section about the truth, I thought we'd get there this week. We think when you say the truth, you think about the difference between a lie and the truth. This is about the truth of where we are at and where our hearts are at. So, to recap this week, we looked at verse 12, which speaks, keeping part of the armor is about the authorities that we fight against. And that it's real, that there is authority that the devil has, and that God, part of the gospel program, is having that shift of authority back again, having us restored to that. And the other aspect that we want to just emphasize this morning is that there's times of evil that we have to go through. There's battles that we have to go through, but we're not alone. There's family and friends, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus and the family of God all over the world that are standing strong with us. So folks, how's your heart this morning in terms of that authority? Is there an area of compromise in your heart or your life where you know you need the intervention of God to come and change things and bring about a change in your life? Let's pray together as the deep end comes up to minister in praise and worship for us one more time. Let's close our eyes as we pray together. If you know there's a place in your life where you've just let the devil have a field day in your life and he's just really just robbed and stolen and just messed up and you want that authority established in your life again, just right there acknowledge that dependency on Jesus and say, Lord, I need this authority. Lord, I need to just be aware of the strategies of the devil, and that he's indeed the God of this age and has authority, Lord, but I step out from under the devil's authority, and I step into the place of authority that I have in you. You've made it possible for me, Lord, to have this place of authority because of the completed work of the cross. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for a shift in the spiritual realm this morning in the lives of all of us, Father. I pray that we truly see the significance of standing firm through the battle, I pray, Lord, instead of running away from the struggles that you allow to take place in our lives, help us to stand firm, every single one of us, Lord God, to keep strong, knowing that you are our strength, you are our source of all. And if we're real with ourselves, folks, if we can just repent, if we can just ask God, say, Lord, I'm sorry for working with the devil. I'm sorry for just partaking in his schemes, Lord God, and just allowing him to mess up everything that is beautiful in my life. I'm sorry for the role that I've played in sin. And I ask you to forgive me, Father. In Jesus' name, as far as the east is from the west, separate my sin from me, Lord. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Have an awesome week. Thank you for coming. We love and appreciate you all. God bless you. Let's worship the Lord together one more time. Thank you, Darren, Louis, Leon, Andre, Wendy, Annie. Bless you guys.
Let's sing.
And to the guys at the back, Chris, whoever's with you there, Chris and Dion. Yeah. I see you.
Sing. Your glory fill this house, O Lord. Give him praise. Let's do that.